Devices Radio Network.
Blood, Sweat, and Gear is for informational and educational purposes only. Kids, don't try this at home.
Lastly, here are a few facts about the negatives of steroid use that I printed out from NationalLibraryOfMedicine.gov. Okay, here we go. Raise blood pressure, enlarge organs, increase chance of heart attack over time, hair growth, reproductive problems, liver damage, high cholesterol, acne, sterilization, cardiovascular problems, kidney problems, excessive sweating, risk of HIV and Hep B, Hep C from needles, increased risk of psychosis, aching joints, insomnia, depression, yada, yada, yada. As you can see, it's pretty neck and neck. So there is no clear winner in the pros and cons of taking steroids.
How low can you go?
Welcome back to Blood, Sweat, and Gear. I'm Scott McNally, and with me on the microphone, as always, Skip Hill. We've got S2H coming along. He will be here shortly. And guys, I want to tell you, in case you haven't listened to the program before, we are a bodybuilding podcast. Surprise, surprise. You might not know that if you're looking at the show through the flyer, but that's what we do here. We do bodybuilding, and mainly we answer questions from the Advices Radio forums. So we've got bodybuilding questions, everything from gear to training, supplementation, nutrition. We cover it all, and we will get started about 30 minutes in. But first, I have to catch up with these guys. I have to see what's going on. By the way, I should mention this show is brought to us by TeamSkip.com. So I'm going to catch up with Skip here. S2H is going to be in just a little bit. And we've got some other things to do. Shout-outs before the break. We've got the contest, the S2H Draw S2H contest. That's we're going to keep running that for a little longer, but I'll get to that in a bit. Skip, what is going on, man? How you doing?
I didn't know this was technically a bodybuilding podcast. I thought it was more about cats riding unicorns with guns.
It's that, too. That's the beauty of it. It is. I'm not going to say it's not that, but it's also bodybuilding.
I can understand where people would be confused.
Yeah, naturally.
I get it.
Naturally.
I get it.
Especially when we talk so much about cats. Specifically your cat, Skip. You got, now we can say cats because you've got several of them at your house. But you've got a new addition.
I'm a cat lady now.
Crazy cat lady. That's where you're heading, seriously.
Pretty much. Four cats.
Yeah.
They call her the cat lady. People say she's crazy just because she has a few dozen cats. But can anyone who loves animals that much really be crazy?
I don't know. Here's what it is. I bitched about Zuri for the last year. She's getting big. I want to take her for walks. I think everybody else can pet her. Yeah. All the girls in the house, she'll roll over, rub her belly. I come around, ears go back, and you would think I tried to rape the fucking cat because she just runs in the other direction, right?
That is so funny.
Yet I'm home every day with her. I talk to her more than anybody else. I try harder. I try to give her treats. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because I'm a guy.
It must be.
I fucking don't know.
It must be like a male thing then.
I don't know. Must be. Like I'm the alpha and she's scared of me or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah. That's weird.
I got mad. I'm like, you know what? I basically just fuck you. I'm going to go get another cat.
You broke up with your cat is what you're telling me.
Pretty much. Yeah. We're like in that limbo status right now. And I am that boyfriend who now is mocking the girl.
Mm-hmm.
I got another cat.
You're posting Instagram pictures with the new cat.
Exactly. I wouldn't have got another cat, but because you're being a bitch and you don't want to talk to me and you don't want to hang around with me and you don't want to do anything with me, I got another cat.
And you're
I'm laughing. I'm laughing at the fucking cat. Like
you're posting Facebook pictures like you're and looking, look at how much fun I'm having with my new cat.
And you know what? I know she's creeping my Facebook page too, and that's why I'm doing it.
Well, of course, naturally.
Yeah, exactly. So no, I got a. You know what? I wanted an F1. I've wanted an F1 for a while, but they're too fucking expensive. And my wife is right. I sunk money into my car.
Yeah.
And I don't need to buy a fucking retardedly expensive cat when, quite frankly, she was pretty expensive too.
Okay.
So I went and I noticed through a little bit of research and due diligence, I guess, that these Bengal cats have this awesome personality where they're very playful, they're very mischievous, that sort of thing. I'm like, damn, this is kind of appealing. They're not a huge cat, but they're not a tiny cat either. And they're real pretty. So I figured I want a Bengal cat. They're
a nice. Bengal cat.
Bengal cat, yep.
Related to Bengal tiger?
Yeah, pretty much. I think it's a, what are they called? Leopard cat, some shit. I can't remember. Anyway, wow. They're graded on the F system, just like Savannah's. So you have your F1, F2, F3. And what happens is I was like, oh, yeah, I got to have an F1 because I want the big one and everything else. But what I found out was the 1, 2s, and 3s.
Will kill you.
Yeah, that too. They'll maul you. But they don't have the personality.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, I already got a cat with no fucking personality, so I don't need 2.
Yeah.
So what happens is they say get to about the 5th generation, and they're very... they're just fun. They're spastic. They're just fun. And I'm telling you, this cat is fucking awesome.
That's cool.
And I already ran down the rules in the house. The kids thought I was kidding, but I was dead serious. And I told my wife the same thing. Nobody pets this.
I knew you're gonna say that. I knew you're gonna say it.
Is allowed to pet the fucking cat. And seriously, my oldest daughter came over and she started petting. Come on, don't pet the fucking cat. She's like, are you serious? I'm like, you thought I was kidding. I'm like, don't touch the fucking cat. I'm dead serious.
Because you want it to bond with you, is what you're saying.
It's bonding with me. And this cat adores me. I love it. So far, so good. Of course, just today I introduced it to the other cats. Because the other cats know something's up. They can hear them in the bedroom. Because, you know, you got to have their little safe space.
And oh, get them really?
Get them used to their surroundings. It's only 11 weeks, you know.
Okay.
So it's just a little dude. But so they can hear him in their high-pitched, you know, mew.
Yeah, I know you're right.
Huh? So I opened up the door today, introduced, and guess who's there? Guess who's the first one there?
Huh, who's so curious about what's going on in your life now, Skip?
Yeah, all of a sudden, you're just so curious who I brought home.
Zuri.
Yeah, right, Zuri. Exactly. I'm like, meet my new cat.
This is awkward.
For her. She's looking at the cat. She's looking at me. She's looking at the cat. She's looking at me. I'm like, what you think? What do you think? Cute, huh? Great personality.
Lets you pet it.
Yeah. Wants to be taken for walks. Wants to be taken out. You know, that sort of thing. So pretty cool. I mean, it is, you know, I got 4 fucking cats in an apartment. So it is kind of pathetic when you think about it. But I'm a cat guy, man. They're just not high maintenance. You don't have to take them out. You can take them out if you want to and take them for walks. That sort of thing. But no, they're low maintenance. They shit and piss in a, you know, little kitty litter box in the corner. It's freaking awesome.
Is this a boy or a girl?
This is a boy because, you know, I still have that size thing. I still don't want it to be tiny. So they anticipate that this one will be roughly the size of Zuri. And Zuri's only about 13 pounds now. She's got another year to grow. So she won't be as skinny and tall, but she'll, you know, he'll end up being roughly the same size or weight, I guess. He'll just look different. So,
interesting.
But beautiful cat. If anybody, and it's funny because Justin Meyer hit me up a couple days ago. He's like, oh, you know, I got this Bengal cat. It's really pretty. I'm like, oh, man, I've been looking into it. So we're going back and forth. He was telling me how much of a spaz it was. And like 2 days later, I hit him up. I'm like, I got one. So now we're going to have the battle of Bengal picks.
Oh, man. Because,
you know, that's what grown-ass men do, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They have 4 pictures of their cats. What else is there to do?
Oh, hey, we have our other co-host with us. Yep. He's here. He made it.
No, he decided to show up. I think that must be written into his contract. He just renewed his contract, too.
Yep.
Hey, what's up, Scott?
Well, the cows got loose, so I was running a little late.
Yeah.
The cows got loose. Who would say that if you were not from Texas? Nobody.
Right, right.
That's like a Texasism.
And if I were to say that with like my Midwest Michigan accent, people wouldn't believe me anyway.
Right.
You know?
Same Colorado. Yeah. We have cows in Colorado. They still wouldn't buy it.
No.
Well, there's some big girls. I mean, you know, they wouldn't be happy I called them cows, but they got out. We had to get them.
Had to round up them heifers.
What's going on, Scott?
Nothing. I was just Running a little late.
No problem.
I was running a little late for Skip's wanting to start late. I should put it that way.
I didn't want to start late.
Skip was ready to go. Skip
was ready to go. I've been sitting here for 2 hours waiting.
Just waiting. Just sitting there. Nothing to do.
For some reason, I get confused cereal. That Scott and I are not on the same time.
Yes.
Well, that makes sense because we've only been doing the show for like 4 years.
Right.
So, you know, there's a break-in period there. So I get that.
Well, I mean, at least I know that you're an hour ahead of me. I keep forgetting. I keep thinking he is on the same time zone as I am.
Nope, I'm still Eastern Standard. You got to get over to Chicago, and that's when you hit Central.
Well, over there you get shot.
Yeah,
possibly. Guys, I was there.
He's safe in Chicago.
I was there last weekend, guys.
It's a very fun town. Love Chicago.
I didn't eat anything good, though.
Really?
Yeah, no, not really. I went to IHOP.
Yeah, IHOP. I'm surrounded by amateurs. Anyway.
It wasn't my choice, but actually, I went there myself in the morning to grab some breakfast before the show. And then afterward, I was with a friend who wanted IHOP, Andrea Watson. She's a listener of the show, Andrea.
Well, then she gets first. If she was in the show.
Yeah.
Okay. Then that's fair.
Exactly.
Got to let them have what they want
to
have. So,
exactly. So I went back to IHOP. You know, she had to twist my arm and I had to eat pancakes again. You know?
No problem.
Yeah. But
it's funny because when you're hungry, dieting, even IHOP pancakes taste good.
I love IHOP, man. So does John Meadows. So does John Meadows.
You know what? John, listen, I'm gonna take a shot at John because you know he's a good sport. Okay, listen, he's an amateur when it comes to eating. His idea of eating donuts is eating a donut. Okay, here he eats like one fucking pancake, or his breakfast is like two eggs and a piece of toast. No, that's amateur shit.
Yeah,
I don't know how he's that big eating like that. Oh my God.
So Andrea, she's not a big girl. You know, I think she's like. You know, 120 something, 130 pounds on stage. And, you know, figure she managed to put away two entrees without even trying. And she was ready to still eat more.
Good for her.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. It was, I can't eat that much. I eat a bunch of cheese or something like that after a show and I'm done for like 2 hours. That's it. It's over.
Doesn't IHOP have those Bananas Foster French toast?
Bananas.
I think they do.
Yeah.
I think it's decent the more I think about it. Yeah. That's not too bad, I guess.
They discontinued their red velvet. VJ and I called them on Bodybuilding Nerds. We actually called IHOP to find out what the scoop was. But the IHOP has discontinued red velvet as well as their cinnamon pancakes.
Makes no sense.
No.
You guys are bored. Stuff.
We're what?
You guys are bored.
Bored?
Calling IHOP.
No, it was cutting edge research for the show. That's what was going on there. We actually, we called him on the program. But anyways, yeah, I was over there for Junior Nationals. I got to see a bunch of stuff. That was my first time at the show. It was actually a lot of fun. I'm super pumped that I went. In other news, Scott told me that he thought your show was like coming right up. And I thought I was mistaken. I thought I maybe heard something wrong. But I thought you were like doing a contest, like I think it was last weekend or the weekend before, Skip. But you still have a little while, right?
Yeah, I don't have a long time. But the nice thing is I'm flexible with the schedule. I'm not locked into one show, okay. I guess. And it's nice in Florida because there's a ton of shows. It's kind of like Texas, where in Colorado, you know, you might have a little more than a handful, and if you don't, you know, that you, if you're locked in, you're pretty much locked in. So it has been nice in that sense, but I'm, you know, after the shit that has gone, there's just always something. The older I get, it just seems like it just gets worse. And it's, how should I say? It's not frustrating, but it's kind of disappointing because it makes me feel that it's age related. Mm. And I don't like things that feel like they're age related, especially when it comes to bodybuilding, because you start training, and I'm going to speak for myself. I started training when I was younger to basically like look older and, you know, be more muscular. Then when you get older, then you're kind of holding on to your youth. You want to look younger.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be in good shape all the time. You know, I like it when younger guys are like, man, you know, you're in really good shape, you know, or they'll say for as old as you are, you know, I hope I'm in good, you know, in shape like that when I'm your age. And when you're older, those really are compliments in the sense that it's like, oh, you know, it's cool. I appreciate hearing that. So it's just a reminder that,
older
than I want to be.
What happened?
I had this situation with my throat where it's a narrowing of the bottom of my esophagus where it goes into the stomach. And a lot of people have it, especially as they age. So what happens is food can get stuck in the bottom of my throat if I don't chew it well.
Oh, shit.
And I don't realize it until it starts to back up in my throat. And then I have two options. I can drink water real quick and try to force it through.
Yeah.
And or I can start to kind of cough it up. If there's too much in my throat, then it won't move anyway, and I have to cough some of it up, and then eventually it'll move.
Oh, my God.
So I was eating some chicken the other night, and that it's usually something dry, like a protein or like a white fish or something. It's not usually carbs or peanut butter or anything like that. So, or pancakes, French toast. But so I force it down. But it fucking hurts. And I said to myself at like 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, that was not good. It felt like something ripped. So it's kind of a long story, but the short of it was for the next couple hours, my throat was irritated a little bit. Like when I was in the gym and I was drinking water, I was like, God, it doesn't feel right. But I had a good workout. I felt good. Everything. The next day, about 12, 18 hours later, I start not shitting blood, but I have black, dark black stools. Ooh. So basically that's an upper GI bleeding that once the blood mixes with stomach acid and you know, goes through your digestive process, it gets kind of tarry and it gets black. Well, I thought, I didn't think about it too much. I'm like, okay. But then I went to the bathroom again. I'm like, the fuck? Like, I wonder if this has anything to do with yesterday.
Huh.
And this stayed for like 4 fucking days. So I'm starting to get worried. You know, I'm talking to people, you know, nurses, doctors, shit like that, without having to go in, because I know if I go in, I know the process. I'm going to likely be in ICU. They're going to want to do an endoscopy, and they're going to sit there, or I'm going to sit there and do nothing while they monitor me for a day and a half.
Right.
So I'm kind of putting it off, and I feel good. I feel fine. I don't have any of the symptoms of upper GI bleeding. There's no nausea. I'm not vomiting. I'm not lightheaded. I'm not. And I had to laugh because one of the symptoms is you can become anemic. Well, I'm not going to become anemic because my blood numbers are through the roof.
Right, right.
You know, I'm sure. So I laughed and said, I'm like, I could get rid of some blood. It's okay.
Yeah.
But you just, you know, you get worried. Everybody goes worst case scenario, that sort of thing. It finally, I forced my skip load a couple days early because I thought I'm going to push a lot of food and just see if it helped. And it ended up that everything, you know, my stools, I guess, my shit, whatever you want to call it, ended up going back to normal, and it was fine. But yet I'm getting blasted by a few people on social media for being a fucking idiot, their words.
Okay.
You know, not going in and not checking. And you know what? It's really just, I hate to say, but it's really nobody's fucking business. You know, I'm not putting the show before my health.
Yeah.
I was very calculated. I talked to my wife about it. I'm like, look, I don't have any other symptoms of anything going on. And I've had this condition with my throat for years.
And it's probably just it's not just the show. You probably would not have gone in without the show either had this happened, right? I know you.
I wouldn't have. Now, should I?
That's a different story.
Maybe I should. Yeah. Maybe I should pay the ridiculous amount of money that it's going to cost to be in ICU, have everything done. And the weird thing is I feel like I have more room in my throat now.
Huh.
It's just kind of an odd situation. But anyway, you know, it took another 5 or 6 days off my prep. I was already racing the clock. It's just, it's defeating. And everything I went through last year was hard enough. And this prep hasn't been too bad. But when this hit, I was just like, of course.
Yeah.
That's basically where my mind went. So psychologically, I've been defeated. But I put my head down, and I'm like, you know, don't even assess where you're at right now. Just put your head down, execute, and just move forward. Yeah. And, you know, my show is in 5 weeks. Okay. If I'm going to call it at a week out, and whether I'm going to be ready or not, I don't know. If I'm not, I'll push to another show that's three weeks.
There you go.
And that's all I can do. After that, I have commitments to be at my daughter's orientation for nursing school in Wisconsin. I have other things that are going to be more important. But I will tell you this, if I am not able to, you know, because I can't get on stage, not 100%.
Sure.
I just can't in the position that I am. I just can't do that. And personally,
Yeah, you don't want to. Who wants to?
Right.
What fun is that, man? This is about pushing yourself to your ultimate extreme to be your best. That's what doing a show is about being your best, right?
Exactly. And it's frustrating because I can look back now in hindsight and go, well, you should have been further ahead. But I'm always ahead. And then shit happens, and I'm just racing the clock, and I don't like it, but yet I'm locked in, and we'll see. The other part is if I push forward, I'm like everybody else, I think. You have everything down to the milligram. So even if I push 3 weeks ahead, I have to go back and, you know, make sure that I'm supplemented for another 3 weeks, which is a giant fucking pain in the ass, too. So, you know, hopefully, and I may be fine. The one thing I have going for me is I can go from being in shitty shape to being in great shape very quickly. And I can go equally as quickly from being in good shape to being in shitty shape.
Really?
So I'm putting my head down and I'm just getting it done, and we'll just see.
Well, there's always I could always help you with your throat condition.
I don't even know where to go with that. I don't know whether to ignore you. I don't even know.
Drink some apple cider vinegar.
Oh, that's where you were going?
Well, that or Dr. Scott's two ball root juice.
One yeah, that's what I figured. Know, that's it, where I expected this to go. Two ball root juice.
drink some apple cider vinegar. Call me in the morning.
Well, the thing is, now it's fine. I mean, I feel, like I say, I feel great. And that's what bothered me, because I kept thinking to myself, am I being that meathead guy who is like, nope, I'm just pushing forward? Because my wife did question me. Hmm. She's like, really? No, you should go. And I'm like, listen, this is why I don't want to go. Because I had no other symptoms. I said, the big one was pain. If I would have had the pain, it was there acutely right away, but then it was gone. There was zero pain. So that's why I didn't go, primarily, and I didn't have any of the other symptoms. And I talked to people. I talked to nurses in the ICU who are friends of mine, who spoke to doctors in the ICU, and they said the same thing. Wait a couple days. If there's any pain, get in immediately, that sort of thing. And there wasn't. So that's how I handled it, and it is what it is. Everybody handles shit differently. And you know what? I'll go so far as to say this, and this is probably going to get somebody to go, see, there you go. There are people who want to know everything that's wrong with them, and there are other people who don't. And honestly, I'm not sure that I do. But yet at the same time, I don't have anything going on with me right now that gives me the impression that there's anything wrong. So it is what it is.
Fair enough. I'm glad you're okay, though.
That's yeah,
most important.
Yeah.
I was going to get emotional there a minute ago.
I had a tear in my eye.
Well, listen, we didn't get a lot of submissions yet for our contest. And so I want to drum it up. I think that people were intimidated. They were intimidated by the idea of being creative, you know, in drawing something. Or like I said, there's so many different things that you could do. You don't have to be a good drawer in order to do the draw S2H contest, guys. You just have to draw, period. And at this point, it's kind of like entering a contest that there's no other competitors. There's a good chance, there's a real good chance that you could win a prize right now. So we have a couple of good entries, and
I'm
one
not
of
sure
them
drawer. I'm stuck on drawer. I'm sorry.
Is that not a word?
That's drawer. Artist. Like you're calling them a fucking drawer.
Yeah, I don't know.
Artist, I don't think artist. Drawer, no.
Yeah. No. Like drawer, like painter, no?
Yeah, well, painter.
You've got to be artistic. Artistic.
Yeah.
Not drawer.
Well, technically, technically, I'm talking about... Okay, okay, guys. You're probably right.
What if you
right.
had more than one drawer? You'd have...
Drawers.
That ain't hey, there right. were some good ones, though. They're yeah. pretty good.
Yeah, we got a couple of good ones. And we do need more, though. We want more. And we've got some great prizes. We have three prizes. And we've got, of course, the Advices Radio t-shirt. We've got a five-pound bag of Team Skip protein. And... we have a one-hour Skype consultation with S2H. That means that Scott is going to call you, and you can ask him questions about your bodybuilding or really about anything else. He knows a lot about guns, too, so you could ask him about guns, too. But really, I think it's a great prize. That's probably the best prize we've had so far. You guys, take advantage of this. You don't
Brittany
have to draw.
In there?
What's that?
Was Brittany in there?
Brittany?
One of those...
No
drawers.
No drawers. Yeah, drawers. The name of Brittany. No,
she's got a good one.
She does.
It'll be there. Yep.
Okay. Okay. Maybe I didn't see it then. I have to. I'll go back. I'm gonna look again. But so far, I've got a couple of them. So I will check back and see if I missed something. Just message that over to the Advices Radio Instagram, and we will enter you into the contest. So we're gonna give that one more. Episode. We will pick those in about a week, and then from there we will post those up, the top three, on the Instagram page, and you guys can then vote, and then whoever gets the most votes wins first prize. We're gonna have three prizes for this one. So anyway, I'm excited about that. I think Skip, you really had a great contest idea too. Maybe we should get that started and give that a couple of episodes. But then by then it might be too late, because basically you were saying that you don't have a name for your new cat yet.
No, so far I have My Buddy.
Yeah, I don't like that.
That's because you're not old enough to know what My Buddy is.
I know what, I know what My Buddy is.
No, you do, for real?
Yeah, it came out about the same time as that movie Child's Play. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what you should name your cat? Sicario.
What the hell is Sicario?
Means hitman in Spanish. You've seen Sicario, the movie?
No. Uh-huh.
Sicario 2 is about to come out.
Really? Sicario.
Yeah.
Interesting. Not bad. You win. I'll send you some protein. Next.
There you go. All right, done.
I'll send you the pictures of me that people have drawn.
Yeah, there you go. I tell you, it's funny because the kids, anytime we get a new pet, the kids come up, God love them, with the gayest, dumbest, lamest names ever.
Yeah.
And it's fucking hilarious, and I try not to laugh. Oh my God, it's just so pathetic. I'm like, I'm not naming
Lefty
the cat that.
Like, what are we talking here?
Oh, it's just so bad. I can't even. Yeah, we have a theme. It's my fault, I'm sure. But I've named a lot of our pets after, and maybe a lot of people do this, but after like Disney characters. You know, I had the tiny little toy chihuahua that was Mufasa. Okay, because it was funny because he's fucking tiny. He's hardly Mufasa. And then we had the stupid, silly brindle pug that always had his tongue out, kind of like the hyenas in, was it the same one? Lion King?
Yeah.
So we named him Ed, because the goofy ass hyena that always had his tongue out, well, his name was Ed. So just shit like that. Over the years, we had the bird, which was Zazu, you know, Zaz, whatever the hell it is. Just things like that.
Huh.
So I got that going. Now I have to put up with 40 different stupid names from Disney movies.
Oh, jeez.
And it's just dumb. Trying to name the cat Raja, because apparently that was a Bengal tiger from Aladdin or something.
Okay.
I know.
Yeah, that's not cool. That's
no,
not cool.
That's just bad.
Well, we will take submissions, even if we're not officially doing a contest. Guys, I think that you should still help Skip name his cat. That would definitely be to his advantage.
Yeah, otherwise he's going to be called My Buddy. My Buddy. Yeah, it's the way you say it. It's not My Buddy. It's My Buddy.
Yeah, that's what
because
you got to do.
Because if you don't know, if you're not old enough, you got to Google that shit, and you got to watch that super cheesy commercial where the kid is on the... Is it a big wheel? I think he's on a big wheel. with his My Buddy doll. And the song, if you're old enough, the song will stick in your head and it'll piss you off that you had to watch it.
Well, everybody who's listening to this show,
it's pissed off.
Yeah, because they got to listen to the song now. Sorry, guys. Sorry, guys. You got to hear it. All right. Well, we will leave it at that. Give us some more submissions for the S2H, the drawers of S2H contest.
The drawers.
The drawers of S2H contest. That's what we're going to call it. We have a whole load of shout-outs here. So without further ado, we will get to that. I actually made this post. A lot of times we post it up around like 10 a.m. and then we end up recording at 1, so people end up missing it. Today, I posted the thread on Instagram, which is where we post it. Guys, if you ever want a shout-out, on every other Monday when we record, I will post a thread on the Advices Radio Instagram. And if you want a shout out, you can post there. So I posted that at like during fasted cardio this morning. So there's been a ton of time and we got a lot of people that actually made it this time. So without further ado, we have, and this is going to be fun because I'm terrible at pronouncing names, and especially these Instagram names. We Breezy, Scott Mayorx underscore. I don't
know. That's close.
Yeah, that was close, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says, shout out. He's been listening from the very start. We've got Big Beck 90. Says, always listening, always learning. Coach Muscle Nugget. Yeah, okay, that's Brittany. She says, yep. Holy crap, I think I made it this time. Because like I said, sometimes people miss it. When is the S2H meme due? Well, now she knows because she's listening to the show. Also, hi friends, I'd love a shout out. Tell Papa Skip that I love his old man balls. Not like I'd like to see them.
Yeah, nope, there's an inside joke there. She's fucking hilarious. She's awesome.
She says, not that I'd like to see them, but I bet they're pretty rad. Not as rad as mine, though. So we're all clear here. All right.
The prunes.
A 1971 Taurus. Mike Saucier.
Yeah, a client of mine. Cool dude. Right. Canadian.
Yeah, he says Skip's client from Ottawa, Canada.
Yep.
He's listened from day one. He loves the
baseball
show.
Baseball fan.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Is he a cool dude because he's a baseball fan? Is that what
that
you're saying?
That will always make you a cooler dude. If you like cats and you like baseball, we're going to get along just fine.
Got another person. Been listening since episode one in 2016. Keep it up, guys. Love the show. That's from Second Chance Shelby. We've got Steadfast Sarah. She's going to get in on the drawing contest too. She's out of Columbus. She works at one of the gyms there. She invited us out when we came to the Arnold. And of course, you know, it's so busy, we didn't get a chance to get out there. But I'd love to next time. Aussie Beef. He is an Aussie. Lee Carmichael. I don't know if you guys have ever seen his stuff before.
Oh, I know who that is.
Yeah, he's been around. You guys have seen him. He's
been around a long time.
Yeah, he followed PED. Consistent Fitness Life. Also been listening since episode one. Huh. A lot of longtime listeners here.
Yeah, I'm not the only one flattered by that, right?
No, I totally am.
I totally love that. If I get messaged or anything and someone says they're a longtime listener, I've been listening from start, I love that. I eat that shit up.
Yeah, I'm surprised, actually. I'm like, you guys listen to us and you actually listen to us again, right?
Yep.
UC Suma, he's dieting right now and looking good. MD Nelson 12, that's shout out for Matt Nelson. We've got Walter Hardman, NPC. Mike Reggie says he'd like a shout out to cheer him up. He says he's constantly sat in the house feeling sorry for himself after being put through a grueling full leg workout with Anth Bales. The pain is unreal. I bet it is.
Yeah, no kidding.
I think that was like a humble brag there. You know what I mean?
A little bit.
Like, oh man, my legs hurt really bad because I was training with Anth Bales. You might know him, IFBB Pro.
I'm not going to name drop, but
that's why my legs hurt.
Anth Bales.
Good guy. A Land Smith 1 says, listens to every episode. Used to listen while I did cardio, but Skip doesn't have me doing it anymore. That's Alan Smith.
Oh, Alan. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't need cardio. He sent me a screenshot of his Fitbit today.
Yeah.
It was like something like 14,000 steps.
What?
I'm not kidding. I'm like, the fuck?
He's got to have a job where he's on his feet a lot, I take it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we've got fitness and fast cars. That's Steve Radosovic. He said, let's see if you guys get my last name right. Does that sound right?
I think I know him.
Yeah?
Detroit. Michigan. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, he's out of the Detroit area.
Him and his wife met him here in Fort Lauderdale about a month and a half, 2 months ago.
Yeah?
Work with both of them. They are riotous.
No kidding.
Tons of fun. Yeah. Been married for a long time and everything else. So you'd think, you know, and I've been married a long time too, and I just naturally assume that people have been married a long time and just kind of, it's an oldism, but fuddy-duddy. They're totally fucking cool. You never know. They've been married forever. They act like they're boyfriend, girlfriend.
That's pretty cool,
yeah.
Did you guys train together?
Hell no. I'm not going to train. That guy's a psychopath.
That's what I was going to say, man. I've seen his videos. He's nuts.
Yeah, no.
And we've also got Stephen Barnes asking for a shout-out. Steve Barnes, this one is for you, and that's it. We'll probably have a few more that come in, so if we have a couple more by the end of the show, I will get to those before we close the program out. But let's get to a commercial break, and when we come back, we have a whole mess of questions. Guys, we'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Team Skip has been synonymous with bodybuilding conditioning for the last two decades. From NFL players to professional bodybuilders to 40-something guys that just want to kill it in the gym and their shirt sleeves. If you have too much skin, call Skip. TeamSkip.com, because skin is overrated. Hey guys, Scott McNally here.
And this is VJ Peary.
You guys know us from here at the Advices Radio Network. Well, we also have another show, Bodybuilding Nerds Radio. We've got everything from supplement reviews
to shout outs,
listener questions,
and of course, our weekly bodybuilding podcast reviews.
So check us out every Friday.
Or whenever you feel like cooking or doing your cardio or basically wasting time with us.
You can hear us at bodybuildingnerds.com.
Also on iTunes. Bodybuilding Nerds, it's time to get nerdy.
Welcome back.
Oh. All right, guy. Do you want to say it? Do you want to say it?
Scott? Know, right?
Say it just like that.
Welcome back.
That's not how you said it. You have to go, welcome back.
Welcome back.
It was good.
There you go.
I like that. All right, we're back, guys. S2H, Skip Hill. Go to teamskip.com. And, of course, check out the Intense Muscle Message Board. Intense. That's my new. I'm creating a thing for you, Skip.
Intense. Are you? Intentional.
Yes, exactly. So we're over at the forum here, Advices Radio forum, that is. And if you go to either advicesradio.com and click on the forum button, or just go straight to forum.advicesradio.com, in the bodybuilding section, there are stickied threads. And we have threads for all the shows there, including there's a thread for Blood, Sweat, and Gear. We love when you guys participate and listen. I really appreciate how many people have been participating lately. We've got a plethora of questions that have been coming in, which I think is great, and it keeps us doing the show. So, all right, first question here is a question for Skip. It says, been on modified keto diet, DP style. It's either double penetration or Dave Palumbo style. I'm not sure.
I'm going to go with double penetration.
Okay.
I'm going to take double penetration for 500, Alex.
It says he's been doing this style for 10 weeks without any refeeds or cheat. Progress stalled, cycled in protein veggie days, dropped sub 10% body fat. Now very depleted, but lean enough now. I wanted to try a skip load. I went with a 6-hour load, high carb, high fat day. Here is what I ate in the first 6 hours. He lists a bunch of stuff here. I'm not going to read it all, but it's food. You know, we got a bunch of food here. Food such as toast. It looks like I see strawberry syrup and pancakes and bananas and cereal and some other stuff, burgers. Regardless if these were the best choices, I ate till I was full, then grazed, then ate again, and then went back to the keto style diet for the rest of the day. I gained about 5 pounds that night, woke back up at baseline. Now I can assume I didn't eat enough, but as I've already went back to baseline, and by Wednesday, I assume I'll be significantly under. Would you suggest going longer, maybe 8 hours, or maybe start Friday night and then 6 hours on Saturday? And because of how depleted I am, is skip loading even a good idea? Not sure how it goes hand in hand with modified keto. So he's thinking about doing this 8-hour thing, and he says that he's 8 weeks out from a show. He says he wanted to use skip loading as a way to plan on filling out for the day of the show, like he's heard you recommend. My last prep was with Dave Palumbo, and it went well. This time around, I wanted to try my own thing with supervision of a couple people for a second eye, etc. Thanks for your time. Always love all the shows and advices. So what's your thought, Skip? He didn't feel that he filled out enough. He woke up and you know, he was 5 pounds up, but then he went back to baseline shortly after that, within a couple of days, it looks like.
Couple things. Number one, should have started the loading sooner. Would have probably progressed quicker. Huh. The other thing that's important to note is he might be putting the cart before the horse, because it sounds like he's asking this question only a day after the load where he baselined. What can happen sometimes is that's misleading, in the sense that it can be related, and is a lot of the time, especially when people load for the first few times, they don't get as much fluid on their load day.
Oh.
And that will inaccurately affect, or it'll give an inaccurate read if you're going by scale weight, that your weight is baseline, when in reality what will happen is he could wake up. Let's say he loaded on Sunday, he weighed himself on Monday morning, and he thinks he's baseline. He writes this question, but by Tuesday morning, he's up 4 pounds. That happens sometimes, because when you get back on your regular diet, you go back to your regular fluid intake. Yeah. What happens is people tend to, when they're forcing food for a load, they tend to cut down on their fluid intake, and sure, it becomes much less than what they normally take in. Huh. That impacts your scale weight tremendously.
Yeah.
So let's just say that he was baselined on Tuesday as well. That would say that it wasn't a fluid issue, and that it was almost certainly related to the load not being big enough. And he, with everything you described, he was depleted. He had plateaued. He's been doing modified keto, that sort of thing. He should have been probably loading sooner, or starting the loading sooner than he did. Nonetheless, if it's not a fluid issue, then yeah, he needs to load longer. I would not, however, go from 6 hours to all of a sudden a day and a meal. That's a hell of a jump. Now, that's not to say that he doesn't need that, but you have to be careful, and he doesn't have a lot of time. He's 8 weeks out, but yeah, he could add another 3-4 hours, which would push him to, you know, 9 to 10 hours. And then if he still doesn't respond as well to that, and he's still baseline, he could go for the day. But you kind of want to, you don't want to jump too big, then all of a sudden lose, well, I don't want to say lose a week of progress, but you know, if you go the next week and you don't baseline, then your load was too big. So incrementally step it up. And if it really was, he really was baselined the day after or 2 days after, then add 3 or 4 hours. And if you do the same thing that week, do it the next week. And of course, an important component of skip loading weekly, not only is it, you know, that it feeds the metabolism and you get leaner, but you need to be taking notes on the foods that you're eating, how long it takes you to go flat again. It's not even about baseline. The scale weight doesn't have much to do with your condition, because if you're just looking to get back to baseline, you don't want to do that before a show. If you get back to baseline, you're basically going to be in the condition and the fullness that you were when you were depleted the week before.
Huh.
So ideally, you should weigh more than your baseline if we're going to put this emphasis on scale weight, because if you're fuller, you're going to weigh more. So
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so he needs to be making notes of the foods he's taking in, because what happens is you need to settle on those foods that sit well with you, that you tolerate well.
Mm.
As an example, if you all of a sudden, if you're eating pancakes and you're having a burger and that's kind of your routine for up until about 2 weeks out, and then all of a sudden you start eating pizza and gnocchi or spaghetti, you're not going to be sure that you're going to respond the same way. And you don't know if you're going to hold that fullness as long after your load, and whether you're going to dry out. There's a balance between dryness and fullness that you have to pay attention to in the handful of days following the load. And that gives you the information that you need week after week to be able to put together that last load and the timing of it prior to your show.
You actually work with people, right, Skip? If I were doing this, or he were doing this, say I'm dieting and I'm doing this Dave Plumble style diet, could I just be like, hey, Skip, I'd like to hire you just to watch me on my next skip load, or, you know, something like that. Teach me how to do this type thing.
Yeah, I used to get hit by a lot of Palumbo's clients only for skip loading, because they would say, and it was consistent, like client after client, they'd be like, look, you know, I'm working with Dave, but this one cheat meal every now and then is not doing anything for me. Metabolically, I don't know how I'm going to load before the show. So they wanted me just to do the skip loading, which is kind of, in hindsight, is a little bit unethical on my part.
Yeah, I see what you mean. If I'm being honest.
Yeah. But yet, a lot of them said, I'm going to do it anyway. So I want to do it under your guidance.
Yeah.
If you're not going to work with me, then I'm going to give it my best guess, and I'm going to have to try to figure it out myself. So what I did was I charged them a menial fee to just monitor the loading.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'd suggest that he reached
out. It would be a nominal fee, maybe not a menial.
And I had one more question for you. So I found that fascinating. You said that you gave the reason why somebody could potentially be lighter or at baseline the next day after having eaten all that food, but then eventually kind of gotten heavier, being the water situation. So my guess is there had to be some point where you learned that, some point where like somebody was loading or you were loading, and then you came up with this scenario where you ended up the next day and you're like, huh, I'm not heavier, but then you ended up drinking more fluid and then you got heavier. I take it you had to learn that along the way somewhere. That's fascinating to me.
Yeah, there's huge patterns with everything. And that's one of the main reasons that I tell my clients, and especially my female clients, do not like to weigh themselves daily.
Huh.
And there are some prep guys who don't even like to use a scale.
Yeah.
But I don't think, and this is just me personally, I think that you not utilizing scale weight is not using a tool in your toolbox.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense to me. Now, I don't want to give it any more credit than it deserves.
Sure.
But it's another way to gauge how things are going in combination with, you know, visual condition, you know, and things like you put everything together, and it's really no more or less important than everything else. So you don't want to leave anything out. It's a variable that in my opinion, needs to be taken into consideration. And again, like I said, it's all about patterns, and that's why, you know, a lot of people say, especially when I first started skip loading and it was, you know, on the boards and everything else, oh, it's such a gamble and you just don't know how you're going to react. That's silly, because it's only a gamble if you haven't been doing it. So if people come to me and they say, hey, I'm 2 weeks out, should I skip load? I'm like, no, because you don't know how you're going to respond. You have no idea how much you need to load. You have no idea if you're going to be watery, how long you're going to be watery. You don't know if you're going to fill out enough. Now is not the time to figure that out.
Yeah.
After doing it 16 to 18 weeks, week in and week out, the last week is a formality.
Yeah.
You know damn near exactly how you're going to respond, how long to load, how many days before the show to load, when you're going to be very close to your driest and fullest.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I do the same thing with the cheat meals where, you know, and I like people to be consistent. If we're working with cheat meals, we figure out what's working. And say we do like a burger and fries, it's nice to figure out what that burger and fries is going to do consistently versus switching it up, like you said, to pizza one week and then sushi the next. It's if we're going to use those foods to help with the load, I want to see some consistency so I can see the response and track it, you know, time after time.
And not only, you know, the obvious as far as not switching from food sources like pizza to sushi to burgers, but even changing burger to burger.
Huh.
You know, if you're going to have a big sexy at Burger Stop here in Fort Lauderdale versus, yeah, you know, the next week you're going to go and have a, you know, completely different burger to different. There's just different makeups. There's different sodium levels. There's different fat content. There's different carb content. You might have different fries. You might have, oh, I didn't even think about the fact that I had a milkshake after. I mean,
yeah,
there are things. Those variables need to be as constant as possible. And when you're loading like that or you're having cheat meals, it's easy to say or to think, well, pizza is a pizza. And that is not the case.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Because I've had clients that think, and the mindset is, hey, it's my cheat meal. I'm going to eat what I want to eat what I want, you know,
right.
And you have to kind of, I think, sometimes explain it in those situations that, yeah, we're trying to gather some data here that we can use. So,
well, and I think, too, you know, people will say, because I've gotten it from even, you know, well-known prep coaches, you know, well, you know, you do this or you do that. Pizza is kind of vague. I don't send my clients out to eat Old Chicago Gut Bomb Pizza or Pizza Hut Pan Pizza.
Hmm.
There are restrictions and there are guidelines and parameters around what they're eating. It doesn't look like that when they post, you know, pictures or when I post pictures to social media and things like that. And people respond differently, as you know.
Yeah.
Some people can, I respond equally as well to high fat, high carb as I do the traditional skip loading or high carb, low fat, you know, type of cheat meals.
Yeah.
So I can get away with, I don't know if it's really get away. I don't think it's get away, but I respond very similarly where some people don't.
Weird.
And you have to figure out, you know, that's an individual thing. You got to figure out with that client how they best respond.
Weird. Yeah. I would think that if you responded well to high carbs, Scott. Hey, Scott.
Yeah.
Scott. It's like a kid. It's like you're sitting there trying to work and you're like, you're trying to get your kid to settle the fuck down. Your ADH kid, just settle the fuck down and sit there and color. Okay. Be quiet and color.
I'm going to skip it. I'm just going to move on here. This is from Punisher. We're back on the GH questions. I think we had a full show of GH questions last or previous episode. When do you feel GH shines? On a cut or during a mass gaining phase? He says, I'm currently using 2 units on a cut and have responded really well. I could use it while bulking and while cutting, but I'm worried about the long-term consequences of using GH year-round, especially if I up the dose and use it year-round. Also, what are your thoughts on limiting GH use to certain periods during the year? Do you try to limit clients to only using it a certain amount of time per year to minimize the chances of organ, head, etc. growth due to using it year-round for year after year? All right. So you definitely say skip. Let's go to Scott on this one first, since he hasn't got to say too much yet. Hey, Scott. Scott, what's your thoughts, man?
Well, if you use the every other day method, you know, that's where it limits all the negative side effects. I think it's good for both, but I think like anything, I used to have the old rule, like December was take a break month.
Yeah. You know? 1 month off.
Yeah. Yeah, just kind of take a break from everything for the most part. But at two IUs, if it's every other day, you're not going to normally see any negative side effects, negative, if it's, blood sugar issues or, anything like that. That's kind of why I like the every other day method. But I don't see where it's going to give you it's probably going to give you more an advantage in cutting. But in the growing phases, I mean, you could go up some, but I don't think there's a lot of bang for the buck unless you go way up. And then you're dealing with potential sides, but you're also dealing with potentially going bankrupt. So, two every other day.
Okay. Two every other day.
Take December off.
Yeah. So did you take December off of everything?
For the most part.
I feel like I would be really depressed by Christmas. Just come off all the gear.
PRT
or something. Okay.
I mean, just give yourself a break. Get off the, just anything. Just cut it all way back down. Give your body a break. Usually, sometimes be like right after Thanksgiving, because most people don't diet from Thanksgiving through the first of the year. So, yeah. Just kind of give your. I mean, I would take a whole break from a lot of things. Like, just take it easy at the gym. Just give your whole body a rest. That 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah. Good. Skip. So you think you say if you had to pick one or the other, dieting would be the time, Skip.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was kind of laughing to myself because he was concerned about the consequences. The consequences of using GH are that you're going to get bigger and leaner
and better. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, okay, you have a bigger head. You have your elbows protrude, but you're bigger. So who cares?
Yeah, because everything else is bigger too. Your muscles are bigger. It all balances out.
It's like if your waist gets 4 inches bigger, but your chest and shoulders get 4.5 inches bigger, you're good.
You know what Dr. Scott Stevenson noticed? He said he felt that, okay, so growth hormone can affect cartilage, and it can make cartilage grow. And he said he feels that people who have responded well, there's been some good GH responders out there in bodybuilding. And he said you can kind of tell looking at them, too, because their ears and their noses grow.
See, now, and I am not in any way going to say that Scott is wrong. That's number one, and it's very important that I say that. But what there's a my opinion on that conflicts a little bit in the sense of, why do old men have big noses and big ears? And why does your nose and your ears grow all the way until you die?
Isn't that weird?
If it's GH related.
Wait, why did... Oh, I don't know. I see what you're saying.
Maybe GH exacerbates.
Exactly.
That.
I think that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That certainly could.
Yeah, that's where he's coming from. But that is weird. And I haven't thought about it. Like, I haven't. It's something I'll have to think about now. And when I look at, say, high-level pros, I'm going to look out for, like, big noses. See if they
work. Big noses, big ears.
Big noses, big ears, yeah.
Is your dick cartilage?
I don't know. Unfortunately, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could be good.
I'm looking for anything.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, I agree. I feel like dieting would be, if I had to pick one or the other, I would pick that. But my goal would be to pick both. And I go with the idea of even at a low dose, you can stay leaner in the off season. If GH helps you to stay leaner, then you can probably eat more too. But what are your thoughts on that one, Skip? Scott shared his thoughts on off season GH. What about using it while you're trying to quote unquote bulk up, bro?
I apologize because I was over here thinking that if I could, I would run my dick over with my car.
If that would grow it?
Just to make it big. Yeah, just to make it bigger. So I only caught half of your question. I think you were asking seriously for bulking.
Yeah.
Here's what I think. This is how, and I'm curious if Scott feels the same way. I think that GH plays into the size game by allowing you to make or to take in more calories than you otherwise would be able to without getting fat. And so you're able to feed the machine without gaining as much body fat as you would otherwise. I don't think it's a miracle size, unless you're just genetically predisposed to be a freak. I don't think it's a miracle like formula for gaining a bunch of size. Even the pros, you know, I just will use Phil Heath as an example. You know, he was, and I understand that that's probably not a very good example because he's a genetic freak. But the point being is, you know, a lot of these guys that even respond well to growth hormone have gone so far without it that when they put it in, it makes a difference, and they respond well to it. But it doesn't take them from nothing to awesomeness. It takes them from awesome to even more awesome.
Yeah.
I guess better way to. So, you know, I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. I really think that growth hormone caps off really good, someone with really good genetic potential, but I don't think that it makes make or breaks. It might in the pros, like it may, you know, take you to a higher level in the pro, but it's not going to make or break anybody. I think a lot of bodybuilders could save their money and get 99.9% of the way or 99.5% of the way and save a lot of money by giving up the last half of a percent. If I had it to do all over again, I probably would have never used it. Now, probably because I didn't respond terribly well to it. But I think large majority of people will admit that they just don't know if they respond to it. And my answer is always, look, if you have taken it for 6 or 8 months and you don't know if you're responding to it, save your money. Hmm. It's just not. But the problem is, it comes back to how our mentality or a bodybuilder's mentality is. It's we're almost programmed that we don't want to leave something out because that could be the key.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't take enough. I didn't take it long enough. I didn't, you know, get the right kind.
That's always the question.
In reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. When in reality, I think the large majority, and I've said it, you know, many times before, but I'm going to continue to say it. The large majority of people should just spend that money on a cat or something.
A Savannah or now a Bengal cat, apparently.
Right. Or just something, you know, something else, I guess, you know, whether it anything other than growth, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to put this in there that I think the internet drives a lot of that discussion or that desire to use a lot of growth. And I can really sit back and think from when it first started to become the thing to do and then all through the years. It's just I don't see a lot of people that really had any like whirlwind miracle changes using a lot of. But I did see a lot of people have a lot of negative effects to it.
Yep.
Yeah. So I don't really get where that's kind of why I like the EOD thing, lower thing, just keep the IGF levels up and stable. So I don't really see. I mean, I've had guys I worked with that are doing like 20 IUs a day. And it was like, okay, yeah, there was, you know, you looked somewhat better, but it's like there wasn't, you know, the cliche bang for the buck or whatever, but it was like, I don't and some of these guys are pretty genetically gifted. I didn't really see, you know, where it was worth it. You know, recovery is better, of course. But then I would say in the majority of them, as this progressed on, there was, you know, the blood sugar levels began to drop, start having problems, you know, going hypo, either the extended waist. I mean, it just was like, okay, well, where did this really get you? You know?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I would say there's like 1 in 10 people, if I just want to throw a rough estimate out there, that really can benefit from it in high, anything remotely high. And the other side, I just don't really see it. You know, the other 9 people.
Right.
This is my experience.
Right. All right. We had another one. This one looks like it'll be got a couple here, Scott, questions. This is the same guy who asked us the in-depth stuff about IGF and growth that you answered on the last episode, Scott. He says, does IGF-1 DES and LR3 have to be human recombinant for humans to metabolize and use, or can it be synthetic like most research sites sell?
Well, you're kind of looking, I mean, yes and no, because I would say that, no, it can be synthetic, but I don't really know. There was at one time I started messing around with LR3, this is before it really hit the internet or people were talking about it. I just tried something on my own and I got some really kick-ass results from it. I probably stumbled into the right way to do it for me. And that was the drop the last, barbell at the end of the last set, run in the bathroom. And then I was actually using a shake that was, what was that old one called? That's probably still around. Torrent.
Okay.
And I would add two scoops of that, threw some BCAAs in there and chugged it. And was just fooling around. And I mean, I got really a lot leaner, more vascular, and stayed that way. But, as I think about it, could it have been that I was dieting differently? I didn't really keep track of everything that was going along with it,
Yeah.
It's tight, so I thought that, it worked well, and then I've had some people worked with and stuff that have done that it's worked well for them. But oddly enough, if you waited like 15 or 20 minutes after you trained, it didn't work as well. It was like drop a dumbbell, head for the stall, bonk, flush the pin, slam the drink.
What do you think about using it pre-workout?
I tried that. One thing is I don't do well with any intra drinks when I train.
Okay.
It bothers my, I just don't really, it doesn't settle well with me. Yeah. I'm like a water only guy. So for me, it didn't work well because I just really, when the high branch, like dextrins became real popular, man, I'd get like 15 minutes of work. I wanted to throw up.
Ugh.
So it didn't really work too well. I mean, the post worked pretty well, and could it have been the quality of it? That's very well an issue too, because I don't keep track of that side of the supplement industry. But I think you're going to get some questionable stuff.
Sure,
they are amino acid chains, and they do break down under certain conditions. So, yeah, but no, I mean Increlex obviously works real well.
Yeah,
but good luck finding that. It's not falling off trees.
Right. All right. I've got another GH question here, Scott. He says, GH use with a type 1 diabetic. Have you had any experiences working with anybody in this situation? He said, I experimented before, but the spike in blood sugar and insane insulin resistance was crazy. Like I had to almost quadrami, quadromy, quadrami insulin.
Yeah.
Is he saying like quadruple? Right. Quadrami? Is that like quadruple?
Yeah, he had to up his insulin.
Okay.
Type ones. Now there is some studies on type twos. Now becoming a type two, pretty much because you're obese or something, you've created that scenario in some way through your diet or poor dieting.
Yeah.
There is some stuff with type twos I've read about pretty extensively where they use growth. Now, at first it was kind of a rocky road first, I think roughly 30 days. But once these were people that didn't exercise, did not have an active lifestyle. So there was, you have to put in the part of, they were training and they were doing cardio and they were getting in better shape and they were losing body fat. They were dieting properly.
Yeah.
And there was a pretty good turnaround in those people, and GH helped in that process with its increased metabolism. But in that case, most of the, in the first 30 days, there was some issues with blood sugar. With type 1s, man, I've never worked with any of those type 1 and used it. And it's not something I would really recommend or tangle with. Because you're a type 1. I mean, you're not going to fix that problem.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. All right, next question, and we'll go to Skip on this one first. He says, hi, female, 24 years old, 140 pounds, 5'4", 4.5 years of lifting in total, about 3 years training very hard, nutrition on point, elite power lifter, competed in figure with good placings, still natty. I'm thinking about switching to the dark side, but I have little knowledge and I don't really know what to expect. Is it possible for you to guesstimate how much muscle and strength that she can expect to retain if I stick to the same diet and training that I did up until now and during the cycle? I'm eating about 170 grams of protein, 250 to 300 carbs, 50 grams of fat while bulking. Will it be possible to make progress naturally after one cycle? I see what she's asking here. If so, how long? I'm familiar with the possible side effects and with the effect of the cycle itself, but I'm still not convinced it's worth it. I'm trying to consider everything before I make the final decision. Thanks for your help. I see what she's saying. So she's wondering, you know, is she going to be able to maintain the muscle that she grows? And it just from doing the cycle and then stopping?
No. I mean, if you, I'm not trying to oversimplify it, yeah. But I kind of am.
Okay.
Basically what I mean is if you use a compound and you can run a race in 10 seconds and that is, you know, you were running it at 11.5 before.
Yeah.
Then you come off that compound and you want to progress or try to maintain, I guess, your 10-second run, your 10-second speed. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Could you eventually move past 10 seconds? I can't really answer that, but it would obviously be, it would take a long time and it would be difficult to do because you're going to gain, obviously, far more muscle on the cycle. And then getting back to that point without it is, or even maintaining it, is going to be very difficult to do. Now, some people will maintain more than others, and that has more to do with how you're going to train, what you're going to do with your nutrition, how you're going to recover and make those adjustments after to be able to recover and that sort of thing. I've always said that the people who keep the best gains after a cycle, doesn't mean you're going to keep all of them, but the people who keep more gains after a cycle are the ones that are able to adjust their training and adjust their nutrition to maximize recovery when they come off.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of variables in there, you know, that you have to know what you're doing and you have to be, I don't want to say be smart about it, but there's no other way, I guess, to say it. A lot of people will lose, and they don't know this before they do their first cycle, but they lose the psychological motivation when they're coming off that first cycle. They might not right away, but when they start to lose that little bit and things start to slip, or they start to feel slightly overtrained and they don't know why, that really, it's difficult psychologically. And at that point, you want to try to maintain it. It's a normal response. You want to try to maintain the intensity and the strength and your frequency and your work volume or workload volume when you're coming off, but you can't do that. The compound itself makes your recovery better, makes you or allows you to do more work in a shorter amount of time. So you have to make those adjustments coming off, and that will allow you to help keep a lot of those gains. But are you going to keep them all? The answer, really the short answer, is you're just not. You just won't. And it depends on the cycle too, obviously. You know, if you're just going to run an oral or a couple orals, that's going to be even harder to keep the majority of those gains. So I think if she's on the fence, I've said this to clients, I've said this to friends, said it on the internet, all the way back to the boards. If you're not sure, if you're not 100% convinced that you want to cycle, don't do it.
Yeah, that's because
once you cross,
idea.
I mean, once you cross that line, you're then, in my opinion, forever on the other side of that line. You can go back to being natural if that's what you want to call it, but you've crossed the line.
I wonder. But let me ask you this: how much role does like your genetic limits play in this? Because if we took somebody who was really extreme, you know, let's say they had a lot of potential. This girl could naturally still gain, let's say, 20 pounds of muscle, you know, without gear, which is probably not possible. But let's say she could, and then she runs a cycle and she ends up, you know, gaining, you know, 7 pounds off of it. Wouldn't it be a lot easier to maintain that 7 pounds without gear versus if she was already past that genetic potential, you know, like she really was fighting just to gain anything and couldn't gain anything as she is now?
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I look at genetic potential different than that. I look at genetic potential as where you're going to get almost your ultimate destination with every resource that you can come up with.
Okay, how about natural genetic potential? You know what I mean?
If you're going to say natural, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Like, like if she kept training for another 3 years and kept increasing the protein and all that, and, you know, busted her ass, that she maybe could gain, I won't say 20, but we'll say she could gain 7 pounds.
She may be further ahead after losing some of those gains when she goes back to being natural than she would have been if she stayed natural. That's possible.
That's where I was going with it.
Yeah, that's
kind
possible.
Of like the two. Yeah, she might not keep all that, but like, you know, two steps forward, one step back type theory, you know?
Yeah, people don't do one cycle though.
Dude, that's, I think, a huge point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't think she's, you know, people always lose everything if they just do one cycle. I mean,
no, I don't think it's lose everything. And if that's the way that I came across, I'm glad that you said that, because that is not what I, that's certainly not what I meant. What I'm saying is, though, it is difficult to hold on to all people tend to think that they can hold on to the very, very large majority of what they gain. And I don't think that that's true for the large majority of people. She did say she was an elite lifter. That would put her, or may put her, in, you know, a different category, in the sense that she may be able to hold more than someone who had mediocre or shitty genetics. You know, we all know people who even take gear and don't respond terribly well to it, if at all. So, you know, her genetic predisposition is going to play into it quite a bit. But I think what I'm saying is, you're not going to keep the very large majority of what you gain on a cycle, I don't think.
Yeah.
Well, I think you have to look at it this way too. Most people, when they cycle, there's a lot of intermuscular water retention, and they think that it's muscle, and it's not. You know, everybody's heard the guys, oh, I did a cycle and I gained 10 pounds. Okay, dude, you did not gain 10 pounds in 12 weeks or whatever. You gained 10 pounds on the scale, but you didn't gain 10 pounds of lean muscle tissue. So I would think if someone's really disciplined and they understand their body and they don't fall into that psychological trap of, oh, I was on that and I just got so much stronger and so much bigger and so much more muscle, when in fact, yes, you got stronger, obviously you're moving more weight. But I used like the 50% rule. So let's say she weighed 125. She did some Anavar for 8 weeks. And she was 132 and she was lifting more. And then she dropped back down and came back down around 127. So 2 pounds over what she was before, and looked, you know, in the same kind of condition when she started. Okay, so you gained 2 pounds of muscle. So that doesn't deteriorate overnight. It's just the part people, the misconception is they lose a lot of scale weight and they think it's, oh, I lost all this muscle. Well, because I'm off. No, you just lost all that intermuscular water retention, you know, nitrogen retention you had while you were on. You know, and obviously the weights you're moving will probably come down some. And some people, sometimes it's psychological. Some people take a big psych dump, like you said, and just go down the drain. And some people are able to just, you know, are psychologically, mentally stronger and move on and hold on to those gains. I don't think they necessarily just disappear.
I think that, Skip, you make a good point. Scott, what do you think? People don't just run one cycle.
I think there's plenty. I think on the female side, there would be more than the males that would do that.
Yeah, I don't really agree with that. Yeah, I don't know many men that have just run one cycle.
The ones that do didn't have a very good time with it, and that's why they never went back to it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. That's a good one. Let's move on. We got a couple more here, but Skip's got to get going in a second. He says, we all know about Skip's infamous Jew bread and burger skip loads, but what do his normal macros look like during the week at this point of the diet? Would they have even a bikini girl starving?
Probably.
Yeah.
Maybe not a bikini girl, but I think people would be surprised to see the calories. And the other thing is I don't get hungry. Hmm. I don't usually get depleted. So when I'm thinking about loading, I'm depleted and my workouts are going to complete shit. That's when I know I have to load. I'm not ravenously hungry like, oh my God, I have to eat. I cannot function. I cannot sleep. Things like that. I've been fortunate that I haven't dealt with hunger through the years that I have dieted and competed. But if I had to guess at my macros, because I don't keep track of numbers, let's see, 50, about three, and I'm throwing out ballpark numbers off the top of my head, about 300, 325 protein, 50. And carbs are just intermittent. So if I feel that I need them, I'll throw in 25, 30 grams pre, maybe 25, 30 grams post, but it'll be only every 3 to 4 days after I'm starting to get really depleted. It's kind of just throwing in carbs to make sure that my workouts are still productive, and that I just don't stagnate, mm-hmm. I guess. So not very high. You know, I certainly have some girls that I work with that eat more calories than I do. No question there. I mean, I've had, you know, even figure girls that can put away large amounts of, or much, much more calories, many more calories than I do.
Hmm. I tell you what, I've got a cool situation going on right now, Skip. Well, interesting situation. I'm working with a girl who is in bikini. She competed at a state level show at about 214 was about her weight before we depleted water and loaded. And then we brought that down 214? Further. I'm sorry. Yeah, excuse me. 214. No, bikini girl. 114. I'll say her weight was 114 before we started loading, and for her state level show. And then from there, we dieted further, and she competed at junior nationals at about 111 was her weight before we started manipulating water and loading. And now, a week later, we're struggling to hold the weight on. Like, she was doing protein only a lot of times, and then we would supplement in either sushi or a high carb day. And now we've gone to like carbs every day, carbs with every meal, and she's just struggling to hold weight. It's crazy, man. Her metabolism must be going nuts right now.
Yep.
It's pretty cool. We added in her normal carb day. And well, first we did sushi, and then the next day she still was a little bit lighter. So we added in her regular carb day, and the next day she still was the same weight. She just like a pound under where we wanted her to be, and she was looking harder.
So I was like, okay, let's do that another day. And after 2 days of saturating with carbs, plus having had a cheat meal the previous night before these 2 days, this has got to work. And once again, like the weight's not budging and she's just looking harder and harder. So we actually had to up the carbs now. And she's eating like 25% more carbs. And we're not going to do any water loading for the show either. There's like, she's competing again at the end of this week. So there's like, there's going to be no need for that. She's like bodybuilder hard right now. And we don't want that for bikini.
Right. I'm not surprised by the reaction to the carbs. I think sometimes what happens is during a dieting phase, you end up hitting a plateau where the added calories, I mean, this is the premise of skip loading anyway, but you add the calories and then it's just like throwing gas on a fire. And it doesn't have to be much.
Yeah.
You know, I can add 60 grams of carbs where I don't normally have carbs and come out the next day lighter as well. And it benefits my workouts.
I've seen that too. Yeah. Would you want to put, do you think it makes a difference? Like, say like you take a girl that's you know, smaller and you're adding in, we'll say, one cup of rice, for instance, just for the day. Would it work better, or would it make a difference, I should say, to eat that rice all at once in one meal, or split it up into 4 1-quarter cup portions through the day?
I think that if you're that depleted, taking it in one meal, you're going to, you know, the body's going to end up storing it. I'm one of those people with carbs, and I wonder where you guys are with this, but I'm one of those people with carbs that if I'm going to put carbs in, I don't even like to put them in the meal right before I train, because I don't prefer circulating blood glucose as much as I prefer to get it in and have it stored as glycogen and then use it.
So are you saying you want to train, you want to get that in earlier, much earlier?
Yeah, it might not be, you know, the night before. It could be.
Yeah.
But as an example, if I have 2 meals prior to going to the gym and I'm going to train legs for the second time in 4 days, I would rather get those carbs in the first meal.
Yeah.
As opposed to the meal right before I train.
Oh, I agree with that. Sure. I can see that for sure. I definitely feel like I'd have more strength.
Yeah. I think hitting someone who's depleted with, say, a cup of rice versus four, you know, spreading it out into 4 meals with a quarter cup of rice.
Yeah.
I don't know that it would matter in the end.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that hitting it all at once certainly isn't going to be too much of a, you know, carb surplus that they're not going to, like, it's going to be an inefficient process.
Yeah.
So one meal
I could see that. I could see that.
Yeah, just maybe cut it in half, like half it in meal one and then a meal after training.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I could see that too.
Well, and that's what I came down to when I was going to add carbs, because I started thinking to myself, well, shit, I don't want to put them in post-workout because I want the benefit during the workout.
Yeah.
And I don't want to put them in prior to the workout and then not put carbs in after. So I'm sitting there going, I don't think I've come across this. And I've been doing this for quite a while.
Interesting.
So just like Scott says, you know, cut it in half.
Yeah, it makes sense. All right, guys. Well, let's get out of here. Skip's got to go train. This is your second session for the day, right?
Actually, this is my first. I have a weird situation now where I am getting up at 6 or 7 in the morning as of this last weekend and going to bed at 10 or 11 at night. I'm switching my schedule. I have not done this in years because normally I sleep until 1 or 2 or whatever, noon, something like that. And I ended up switching it around. So
no kidding.
This will be the second session, and I'm going to see – I'm kind of doing this because of the shows. I'm going to have to do it eventually anyway. So I just figured I might as well do it now. So instead of going to bed this weekend, I stayed up, went and got the cat, and then went to bed at about 11 o'clock Sunday night and Saturday night, Sunday night. It's all running together.
Yeah.
Now my body's all fucked up because I'm sitting here going, oh my God, why am I so tired? Oh yeah, that's right. I haven't been up for only 6 hours. I have been up for 14 hours.
Right, right.
So trying to adjust to it, but we'll see how long it lasts.
Nice. Welcome to like the day, like daylight, I guess. Welcome to like normal people hours.
Yeah, I did find it easier to sleep. It's weird getting up to go to the bathroom when it's dark. Yeah.
It's hard to find it.
Scott, what do you got going on today?
Might as well eat. I'm hungry.
Me too. I'm starving. I'm dieting, guys.
I'm dieting too, but I'm never hungry.
Lucky you.
Well, I'm still fat, though. So.
All right, guys, let's get out of here for another episode of Blood, Sweat, and Gear. I'm Scott McNally with S2H and Skip Hill. We will see you soon.
Out.
But what? We don't let him hold. Yeah. So we gon' smoke an ounce to this. G's up, hoes down, why you motherfuckers bounce to this?
Rolling down the street, smoking in love, sipping on gin and gills.
Laid back.
With my mind on my money and my money.
At Voices Radio Network.